Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to start your week with all the news you should know about. Today, after a child in Nanticoke was attacked by a rabid groundhog, officers warned the public to keep away from wild animals. And we discuss immigration and immigration enforcement in our region in the latest News Voices. It's Monday, May 18th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start in Nanticoke today. Police say a child in the city was attacked by a rabid groundhog last week. Now officials urge the public to avoid wild animals. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
Nanticoke Police Chief Michael Roque says he believes the child was bit and scratched on the leg.
Our department responded to a rabid animal call on the 300 block of East Church Street. They observed the animal in ill health. It was then taken care of by our officers and put in a container and sent to the Game Commission, and the Game Commission tested the animal and it was confirmed as rabid.
Roque wants the incident to serve as a community reminder to be careful around wildlife.
We should all know this type of common sense type of thing where we shouldn't approach wild animals in any capacity. One of the things that a lot of people should be cognizant of also is keep an eye on your pets. They could wander and be attacked also.
Rabies is a virus that impacts the central nervous system. It's widespread in mammals, and it can be transmitted to humans through saliva. Humans are considered to be exposed if they come into contact with a rabid animal or if they've been bitten or scratched by one. Rabies is 100% fatal without post-exposure treatment. Treatment must be administered before symptoms develop to be effective. Immediately contact your doctor if exposed. For WVIA News, I'm Lydia McFarlane.
Thanks, Lydia. If you've been exposed to a rabid animal and believe you need a rabies vaccine, call 877-PA-HEALTH or 877-724-3258. Now, a bit of a different type of story. For 2 days next month, cyclists will ride 85 miles from Ararat to Berwick along the region's long-distance trails. The NEPA Eco Tour is coming up on June 6th and 7th. As WVIA's Kat Bolus reports, the mostly downhill bike ride benefits the Pennsylvania Environmental Council.
Over the 2 days, the cyclists will ride down the D&H Rail Trail, the Heritage Trail, the Luzerne County Levee Trail, and the Susquehanna Warrior Trail.
We felt the course was a great way to tie in all of the different connected trail routes and an opportunity for people to experience what it's like to bike the entire valley.
That's Owen Worsbit. He's an avid cyclist and director of operations at Lackawanna Heritage Valley Authority. He created the route.
It definitely has the opportunity to show people how you can navigate the entire valley on a bike.
Rachel Stark is program manager for the Pennsylvania Environmental Council. She helped plan the ride.
Really showcasing how connected this trail network is, not only as a transportation hub, but also a recreation and a tourism opportunity.
There will be trail gaps, including a significant one from Taylor to Duryea, where cyclists will have to ride on road. Stark says the tour is geared towards both avid cyclists and those just starting off biking. The NEPA Eco Tour is open to 40 cyclists who must have their own bikes. Registration is required by May 22nd. In Scranton, I'm Kat Bolus, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuis from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. And now it's time for News Voices. This week, WVIA's Boris Krawchenyuk joins me to talk about immigration in NEPA. Here's more. Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining us. As the debate over immigration plays out nationally, it's also happening here in Northeast Pennsylvania. In a three-day series of stories, WVIA's Boris Krawchenyuk reports on the conflicting local views over President Donald Trump's immigration crackdown. He joins me now to discuss some of what he's found. Hi, Boris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here and for your extensive reporting on this topic. It's all available at WVIA.org right now. So you did a lot of reporting and research on all of this. What were some of your main takeaways?
Well, it's playing out here the same way it's playing out nationally. There are hundreds of arrests, a lot of family life disrupted. Some of them, people who are arrested have criminal records and many don't. It's a very, very complicated issue that has very many layers, and everything that you're seeing nationally, except for maybe the killing of people, is playing out here.
And that includes a few communities that are deciding whether or not to open detention centers. Is that right?
Right. In Schuylkill County and in Berks County, ICE wants to open two detention centers. The Berks County one would be a processing center where you're there temporarily until you're transferred somewhere else. The Schuylkill one would be up to 7,500 beds and would be a permanent facility where you wait until your immigration case is done and you're either freed or deported.
Okay. So how are our local governments and law enforcement dealing with this and responding to this? You reported on something called a 287G agreement, right?
Right. That's named after a section of the federal immigration law, and that what that allows a way that local governments can help ICE enforce immigration law. If the municipalities sign these agreements, they have the right to arrest people for immigration violations. And in exchange, the ICE sometimes provides equipment and reimbursement for salaries.
So how many of our local communities have signed on to something like this or are considering doing so?
There's 88 in Pennsylvania and 29 in the WVIA's 22-county coverage area. A large concentration of them are in Schuylkill County, but there's one in Wyoming County, the district attorney's office there. Luzerne County, the district attorney's office there. So far, none in most of the rest of the Northeast.
Now, it's no secret that NEPA has significant immigrant populations across the spectrum from all kinds of countries. How are these communities feeling right now about what's happening?
There's a lot of fear among people who are here with questionable legal status. And they for a while they were hiding behind closed doors, afraid to go out, go to the supermarket for fear that ICE would pick them up. I talked to one particularly heartbreaking case, Ida Tenazaka, whose husband was caught right before Thanksgiving last year and deported 8 days later back to his home country of Ecuador. He'd been here 9 years, and he was a roofer, and he didn't cause any trouble, but he never checked in for a hearing and basically made himself very deportable. And as soon as they caught up to him, they deported him. And she's left here with two young kids, a daughter two and a daughter one. You know, she's living with her parents, and it's one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever covered. I never came home before and cried after a story the way I did after that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, real quick before we go, was there anything that surprised you in your reporting on this topic?
Maybe the passion on both sides. I know they're pretty much have dug in. There's room for compromise here. I think everybody agrees that people who are here and have criminal records or did something criminal either here or where they came from need to be deported or detained or something along those lines. But there are a lot of people who came just looking for a better life, and they're leading better lives. They're not harming anyone. They're certainly, they need to have their immigration status legalized, whatever term you want to use. There doesn't seem to be a strong reason for not letting them stay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Boris, thank you so much for your reporting, and we can find the full three-day series at WVIA.org. Thanks again.
Thanks.
All right, one last thing for you today. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, May 18th through the 24th. Let's go back to 1883, where in New York this week, the Brooklyn Bridge opens, connecting Brooklyn with Manhattan for the first time. 1903, here at home, the Laurel Line is open. Officially, the Lackawanna and Wyoming Valley Railroad, the train is a third rail electric service connecting Scranton, Pittston, and Wilkes-Barre. 1932, Amelia Earhart becomes the second pilot to fly a solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. She does so 5 years to the day that Charles Lindbergh did the same. In 1980, it's the week Mount St. Helens erupts in Washington State. 57 people are killed and many miles of wilderness are wiped out. And in 2016, it's the week Egypt Air Flight 804 disappears over the Mediterranean Sea. 66 passengers and crew flying from Cairo to Paris are lost. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
Okay, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. We're here every weekday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.